on 97.5 and 102.5 FM, DAB and online at pulse1.co.uk. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One. With Provident, lending a helping hand since 1880. Visit provident.co.uk.
Kia ora, g'day and hey-o. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, covering all things rugby league from around the globe. Joining me in the studio, as always, two legends of the game, Leon Price and Luke Robinson. Evening, boys.
Evening.
Are you in the mood for a good in?
Let's get going, huh?
Do you like my Yorkshire twang?
Yes, minging.
I'm going to come back to that. Now we're starting a new competition to win a Bang Bang Lucky Luke testimonial plain shirt signed and personalised by the former England international himself. You will sign it, won't you, Luke?
I will do, pal. If they want it signing.
If they want it signing, I'm sure they will. It is a unique design that truly the little general is really, really proud of. If you ever look at it, Don't you look angry on that photo?
Iron Man, isn't it? It's Iron Man, yeah?
Allegedly.
I'm sure that's a copy of Iron Man.
You're going to get him in trouble by the trademarkers. Marvel Comics will be knocking down his door. So find out how you want to, how you can get a hold of that. Just go on pulse1.co.uk. Oh, where's my mouth gone today? Put my teeth back in. And just click on the win tab. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
The Robbie Hunter Paul Show. News and views.
So straight from the top, boys, we all know it. We've seen it before. I've seen them come and go over the years. Did you hear my Yorkshire twang then?
Yeah.
Ayo, and good in. Well?
Yeah.
About years. Come on, we've heard some bad ones.
Someone said to me the other day, I was parking outside my friend's house, and this lass comes out. She goes, I said, am I okay to park there? She said, yeah. She said, just do me a favour. When you're talking on radio, I said, just change the advert when you come on. You don't have sound broad Yorkshire. I said, well, if you don't like it, turn it off then.
No, that's our one listener. You can't ask her to turn off.
I know. You don't quite tell somebody I don't like your voice. Basically, your voice sounds too broad. No, it's like my girlfriend saying, oh, you don't look very well today.
Yeah.
It's just rude, isn't it?
She's sitting at home now.
I know her. Bear in mind, I know her.
Yeah, and she knows it. She's listening to you right now,
mom,
talking about
Rachel, I hope you're listening. You're still on car bottom road.
It's his mum. She's gonna go around his house and paint all over his door now.
I don't care. I really don't care.
You care.
I don't.
Your mouth's saying one thing, but your eyes are saying something different. Look, over the years, I've seen Kiwis and Aussies come and go. And the first year, you always seem to see them trying to put on the accent. You know, it's hopeless, isn't it?
I'll be honest, I fell for it a little bit myself. When I went over to Wigan, I started, my mates were taking the mick out, now we're coming home, yeah. Thous and Luke over there, Luke, and all that palaver. Yeah. But I'm not as bad as Joey Barton and that. Everyone see that interview?
No.
You must have seen that, didn't you, Leon?
Classic,
yeah.
Classic.
And Steve McLaren, they obviously went over there. You went to France, did Joey Barton, and started speaking. I would just like, I tried to kick the ball very well.
Yeah, seriously. For a full interview.
Watch it on YouTube. It is absolutely brilliant. It's outstanding.
Genius. But Leon, I think in the south of France, you're supposed to put on a French accent if you can't speak.
No, the problem is people think that the French, if you say English words with a French twang that you want to sound, but the English language doesn't translate into the French at all, so the words are totally different. So you can't say car or car, and they're going to understand it because it's a voiture. A voiture doesn't sound like a car, does it? You know, there's totally different things,
totally
different words.
I'll tell you who's killing it over there. Jordy Broughton, not only is he a good-looking lad, but he's now, have you seen him? He's doing interviews in full French.
Is he? Is he?
Killing it. He's
a bit of a rocket scientist, though, isn't he?
Yeah,
he's smart kid.
He's a quantity surveyor, you know. That's what he used to...
So how did he learn how to speak French in what, 4 months?
Oh, don't you worry, mate. They sign along before that, don't they? You don't wait until that deadline date to decide where your mortgage has been paid.
So when any of your teammates, Leon, any of your teammates start taking French lessons...
You know.
Still, I lived there for 3 years and I still can't even speak it now.
No, he did it extremely. He started as soon as he knew that, obviously, Huddersfield said he could go somewhere else.
It's a big commitment, that, though.
It were all above board. He got him and he straight away started with the French lessons. So he's gone over there. I think Dave Taylor, by all accounts, just says, I come over here to learn French. If they want to understand, they have to learn English, whereas Jody's really embraced the French culture, everything that goes with it.
But to be honest with you, them are the players that they'll keep on re-signing, the lads that embrace the culture.
Ian
Anderson, Lou Anderson, the people that make it at Scott Giroux, the guys that make the effort to learn the language.
No, you know why they got rid of Leon.
That's why, you know, I'm sorry.
But it wasn't good enough, because obviously when you're a child, you learn things very quickly. And both Leon's kids are fluent in French. So it wasn't good enough as Leon was turning up to training with his children. Going out to 3 o'clock in the morning with his kids, just so he could ask them to ask the barman for a beer.
Trent Robinson, that's why they took to him, though.
Yeah, because
he spoke French, didn't he?
French.
And I understand. I think if you are going to coach Catalans, you have to embrace their culture. You have to.
Phil Lulawai, when I was at Salford, Phil Lulawai was there, one of the Lulawais of the famous Lulawai families. And he played for Carcassonne for a number of years before coming over to the Super League and playing for Salford. And with all due respect, Phil couldn't speak English.
I played with him.
But you know what I mean? Typical Kiwi, broken English. Brilliant fella, don't get me wrong. But multilingual, because as soon as we went back to France, he's, I was impressed. Speaking in fluent French to all these guys. I think the Polynesian language is very similar, the way they shape the words to the French language.
The twang.
You know, the way the words can just roll off your tongue a little bit, not like I'm doing at the moment. Leon, massive win for you guys against St. Helens, Hull FC. What were you guys feeding yourselves that weekend? Because you've come out and you've absolutely blew Saints off the park, except for the opening 3 minutes of the game where Saints scored. The game was all yours from that point onwards.
I think we competed at 89% first half and 90% second half.
That's incredible.
It's crazy, isn't it? And,
for those of you that are new to the sport of rugby league, any percentage above 80% is strong. But you start tipping on the 90s, there's only going to be one outcome, especially with the firepower that you guys have.
Yeah. But we played as well. We played rugby, so it wasn't like it was like one-out carries. We were just taking one drive and getting tackled. We played with ball a little bit. And to be honest, we had Sneed. Sneed's in great form at the moment, playing awesome. And Scott Taylor was outstanding.
Oh, he was.
So we had a couple of guys who were right at the top of the game. Mixed in with everybody else having a good game, it gives you a chance. I think we had a really, really good week of training, prepared really well, shortened down training, had half days. You know, we were finished for 12 most days. And just took it onto the field. It looked good. We were confident and we took it onto the field with us.
Now, Saints scored for in the opening 3 minutes of the game. You being the experienced head that you are, you stepped next, so you got a little bit of a sniff. Out come the big right foot step, boom, came out, promoted the ball.
Offload.
Did you, in your mind's eye at that point in time, were you thinking to yourself, okay, we need to get back into this game, I need to step up here, or did you just see the opportunity and instinct?
No, just instinct. You know me, I'm not a player that plays like, I'm not a player that kind of reads the game. I read instinctually play, just play the game off the cuff, I was saying. That's what I would play best, so I'd seen there were really, really big space out there, and the guy were late coming back. Was it Amor? Mm-hmm. And I could see Lomax sending him to the open. So I thought, if Mint passes me the ball here, I'm on. It's a massive space to sidestep into there. So he gave me a sidestepped Greenwood back on inside, and then Mint were following and tipped it onto him in the squad.
And it's all over.
It's all over, Red Rover. It's about time I did something. I'll set one up for a while.
Well, to your defence, you've only been back for a couple of games.
It was good. It was one of them games where, because it was a big occasion, it was on BBC, it was Challenge Cup, it was warm, everybody was pumped up. We took over about 2,000 fans with us. It was a good occasion.
Yeah, your end was pumping. To say that it was warm, that's been the hottest day of the year so far.
We were awful.
It was incredible.
Horrible out there. It reminded me when we played in Challenge Cup final in 08 against Hull when I played for Saints. It was just, the heat was insane.
And Langtree Park is like a complete bowl as well. Yeah, so there was no
breeze,
wind as
no
well.
No breeze. It was really, really hot. Honestly, I was struggling big time.
At any point, obviously you're 34 now, so it starts to, a bit. That's not with change either. That bang on 34. The heat starts to take its toll a little bit, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, massive.
Any comment at any point you're going for a stoppage in water breaks? That has happened before.
No, but I think there should have been. I think the game should have had a water break and it definitely had a stoppage because it was just, the ball was in play for quite a while. And it felt really, really fast. I don't mind because I'm just old and getting tired, but it was ridiculous.
Now, obviously, you've got through to the sixth round of the Challenge Cup, beating St. Helens in your wake, leaving St. Helens in your wake. In the quarterfinals that we've got coming up in the next round, you guys have pulled Catalan's Dragons. Massive game. Mm-hmm. At home, massive game.
It is, yeah. But, you know, we've played Catalan twice this year. We've beaten them twice. To be fair and honest, the last time we played them, they had the probably five of the best players out. Carney was out, Taylor was out. There was quite a lot of players I'd missing. So, you know, this will be a different occasion. But I think when you draw at home in a Challenge Cup, it gives you a bit more confidence the home draw.
Now, I've been told that there's a little bit of a problem with your guys' stadium at that point in time. Mm. Are you re-turfing it?
Yeah, they are, but they've sorted it out now, so we'll be able to play at home.
Okay. Well, Robbo, I want to come back to you guys in Huddersfield because obviously Huddersfield Giants played Leeds Rhinos, and we'll come back to that after the break. We'll also renewing the interest in the reserve grade competition, all that and more. So stay with us here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
It's all about rugby. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
Hey, Robbie Hunter Paul, and we're talking cutting edge rugby league every week right here. And this week we're giving you a chance to win a signed Luke Robinson testimonial shirt from his private stash. To find out how to pick it up, just go on pulse1.co.uk and click on the win tab, and you'll see the picture of Luke looking really tough and angry in his shirt.
First time in my career.
In the Huddersfield Giants colours as it is. But let's talk Huddersfield Leeds Rhinos Friday night. It was a tough game the weekend before, two weekends back-to-back games for this local derby, but Huddersfield pulled out the stops and pumped Leeds in the end, didn't they?
Yeah, it felt a little bit like a little mini Origin series, and it felt like it were pivotal in both, I think, both club seasons, because obviously we're back-to-back Challenge Cup. Let's be fair, we're not going for the Super League, the league leaders, are we, or the Super League Grand Final. We're going for the Challenge Cup, really, and to get in that middle eight. So really important win for us. It was kind of just a totally different game to the one week before. The week before, both teams completed about 40 or 50%, whereas this week, don't want to black a dog Leon, but I think his completion rate was 100% in first half.
100%.
Which is unreal, you know, for us. And then, especially where we've been playing this year with the ball, and then I think it was pretty ridiculously high in the second half. And like Leon says, it's all right having high completions, but you have to do something with the ball as well. And we actually played a little bit of rugby, which, you know, let's be fair, we haven't been playing the best of rugby this year with the ball without making handling errors. So, yeah, really good performance for us. Hopefully we can take a little bit of confidence now over to Catalans.
But that's what it's all about. I mean, we're talking about Leeds, we're talking about Huddersfield, and these are the two teams that have underperformed in 2016. All you need is that little bit of confidence. And next minute, the spaceship takes off.
Yeah, fingers crossed. You know, it's that old adage, isn't it? Where does confidence come from? Where does he get it back? Is it the chicken and the egg? Do you need to win to be confident? You need to be confident to win. So it's a bit of a dilemma. But hopefully now we've got these two wins under his belt, we've gained a bit of confidence. And previous to this as well, we're only 2 weeks before this little mini Origin season, we beat Warrington. You know, they were a little bit under strength, you know, by their own admission. But that, you know, we beat Warrington now, Leeds twice in the last month. So you'd like to think we have gained that confidence, and like you say, it's be a rocket, hopefully now, going upwards.
Now, Big Earl has been in the media over the last couple of days, suggesting he has considered retiring in the past due to the workload piled on athletes. Now, this is something that we've discussed quite a bit, quite openly. We talked about, you know, the amount of games that Super League players are expected, well, all players are expected to play in the European competition. Do you think it's valid?
I think he came across sometime. I think he's come across to the fans, to the layman, a little bit different to what he's trying to say. For example, my mom, who, let's be fair, she's never going to be on Mastermind. Let's be fair, my mom, which my dad texted me out of before.
You know she's probably listening. I can't believe you.
We tell
what
her
sort
time.
Of trouble are you going to get
tell
in
her
at home
time,
now?
But she just
good
she,
luck with Christmas dinner, mate.
She can't understand that we don't, that every single player doesn't play for the love of the game. It's something fans don't understand it. I mean, mom's in the same boat as a fan. They just think that every single player, some players, I'm going to break some fans' hearts here, aren't in love with rugby. They're just extremely good at it, and they get paid more money to do this than they do another job.
Stacking bricks.
And it's just a case of, obviously, this is what they do, but to the vast majority of rugby players, like, they do love the game, they do love the knocks and niggles, but what I think he was trying to go down the line is that we play that many games that it's hard to back up week in, week out. I think we've spoke about it before.
And is it that starts to make the love go away? I don't think there's a rugby player out there that hasn't at one stage in a professional career fallen completely in love and being immersed in it. But when it becomes onerous, when it becomes day after day, and then the expectation starts to layer upon you, and whether or not you're getting the right support network, you know, from coaching. If you've got a terrible coach, you've got terrible systems, you start questioning whether or not you're doing it for the right reasons. Money's one thing, And like, yeah, and you're right. I was in that place. I have to admit, I've been there before myself, and I'm not gonna embarrass the coach that that I was doing that with.
Do you want me to say his name?
No, I don't want you to say. But I have been there. I have been there before, where it just seemed like we were turning out every day, and it was just like I was banging my head against the wall because the systems that I knew were superior to what we were being taught and what we were being fed. And so that used to just, it was killing me. I was going home complaining to the Mr. Mrs. was fed up with me because she was like, well, go do something else. But you're right. At the end of the day, that's what you get paid. That's what you get paid best to do and the lifestyle that you get paid to do it in.
I had a thing at university and he said that basically a love for the game. And what it was is the people that professional players down to amateur, amateurs love the game the most, semi-professionals next, and professionals the worst because it became the job and there were pressures with the job. Mm-hmm. Look, I'm not saying that we don't have a very privileged lifestyle. It's something I dreamt about doing and dreamt to, like Leon said the other week, you know, playing Challenge Cup finals, grand finals, big games. It's something I love. But it does take its toll on you, someone, when you've done it for 10, 15 years and there's a lot of pressure that go with it. And I think it might have been sort of alluding to the fact of the amount of games that we actually play. All right. Think that's what it might have been alluding to.
What? Was what I saw.
You're not going to add anything to that?
No, I completely and utterly, I can understand where it's coming from, Big Earl. And that's the old thing with rugby. You're not really supposed to say how you feel. You're supposed to just bottle it up and just get out there and play on, because if you say what you really, really think, then you're either weak or you sound like a pussy. And I don't even know. So that sound a bit soft. Pussycat. sorry. So I can completely understand where it's coming from, because, you know, we've had these thoughts before. We've been out there. We've played with injections and what have you. Well, and you know, I don't want to keep on rattling on, but I can completely see where he's coming from. I completely agree with him. But at the moment, we don't have a voice. We don't have a players' union. We've got nobody to spread what we think. So we've got to have players that come up and speak out for us, because we've got nobody to speak up for us.
Yeah, I think that's the point. I think quite a few players are openly talking now about the workload that they're taking on. But there is no voice. And who's responsible for that? You know, the League 13 was a startup union, so to speak, from the players themselves. Players they created via John Wilkins and the group, but it didn't get the buy-in by the players.
I think Earl Crabtree used the word that there's a dictatorship within the RFL. Mm-hmm. I think that's how he described them as, and he described it that it's hard to get in there and express, as Leon says, players' points of view. I mean, I spoke to...
Way to throw Earl under the bus, Robert.
But you know,
this is what Earl said, not me. Earl was saying these words.
Not me.
That's what he said, though, isn't it? And you know, there's a lot of players that agree with him. Obviously, the union he tried, I spoke to John Wilkin about it. I tried helping him with regards to that, and he just said he tried his hardest. Mm-hmm. I've spoke about it previous. I don't think we as players really got behind him enough. So I blame myself as much as we do anybody else. But it's ridiculous in this day and age we don't have a union. It's unbelievable. This is £1 million business that we're running.
Multi-million.
It's a multi-million. They're making millions over there at the RFL. Let's not lie. And yet we, the players, don't have a say. I just think it's crazy.
Mate, you're retired now. You need to let it go. You're not a player anymore.
Sorry. They don't
I think Robbo's thinking of his next step in his career, and that's a players' union. Oh, I've just seen a twinkle in his eye. Let's move on to the next aspect, and that is reserve grade footy. It's raised its head again. Five of the Super League teams who currently have reserve grade teams are the top five teams in the Super League at this time. There's Wigan, Warrington, Saints, Catalans, and Hull FC. And they're saying that it's set to expand. Several other Super League clubs are considering to set to join. Hull KR confirmed last week in a fans forum they're looking to set up in 2017. Boys, your thoughts on that? I think the proof is in the pudding, isn't it?
That's where my apprenticeship. That is where I was 16-year-old, 17-year-old, playing against Lee Gilmore, Nathan McAvoy and all those. And that's, I think we have a missing generation at this moment in time, because we're now telling people at 19-year-old, 18, yeah, you're not going to be good enough. Imagine if we'd done that with Jamie Peacock. He'd have been gone. He'd have been gone from the game. You know, the late bloomers aren't having a chance, but only that. When you get some of the lads, for example, we've got a partnership with Oldham, so when injured players are coming back, they're going into a different, totally different situation with players. They don't know. Calls are different, everything. It's up to just, as it used to be, you drop down to the alliance, you had the same calls, the same moves, the same structures, everything that were just within that club. I just think it's crazy that we don't have a reserve.
You know what I used to think as well? When you're in the first team and you can see the A team training, you can see them like biting at your heels. You know, when you can see them running through the plays and you're a first team. And also equally, when I first came to England in 1994, I'm not that young, in 1994, I was in the A team for the majority of the first year. Mm. And I could see the first team training and I wanted to be in that changing room and it made me hungry as a player.
I think most players that, well, I can only speak for myself, but I enjoy playing in the A team. And when I was younger, because I was a player where I was 16 and I got pushed straight up and you were playing against the big boys. Mm. So you felt young, but you were playing against some, like you say, some superstars who may be coming back from injury, some guys that were out of form, some guys that were out of favour with the team. But also, it was always good to go and watch as a player of the first team. You'd go and watch the young lads and see how they're going on a Thursday night. So I think it's something that definitely needs to be brought back.
Well, actually, I want to come back to this just after the break. We'll continue to discuss the hot topics as well as look at Bradford's new head coach, Rohan Smith. All this coming up next after the break on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
Bradford City in the playoffs.
And there goes the full-time whistle. Jobbed on the final day of the season for City. But hold on to your seats. Millwall will be here next Sunday. Playoff game. It comes down to this. But today, City have won it by 2-0. But there is more to come this season.
This is Pulse Sports. Bradford City versus Millwall. The first leg, live. Sunday from 11 a.m. Big names and big stories from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
Kia ora, Robbie Hunter Paul here, and I'm with the Earl of Rugby League, Leon Price, and the General Luke Robinson. And this week we're giving you a chance to win a signed general testimonial shirt from his private stash. Now, to find out how to pick it up, go on pulse1.co.uk and click on the win tab and see a big angry picture of the little fella and get him to win. Oh, just for all of you there listening at home, I say kia ora quite a lot, and kia ora is a New Zealand Māori word for hello, so it's that simple. I think you guys used to have a soft drink or something like that called the kia ora drink, didn't you? Was it?
We're not all as old as you, Robbie, I don't know.
No, when I first got over here, there used to be a kia ora. Oh, see, he's my age. Ewan. So, yeah, that's what I'm just being nice. So we're talking about reserve grade footy. I think the biggest concern, only 5 of the Super League clubs bought into it this year. But I think, and they are all sitting at the top 5 Super League clubs as we stand at the moment. But one of the things that I want to talk about is the dual registration system that we have at the moment. If you're a player sent out on dual registration and you're not a young player, if you're just someone, you know, as part of the squad, I can understand it if you're a young player being sent out to be blooded, you know, against the grown men of the championship in League One. But if you're not a young player, doesn't it make you feel like you're on the scrap heap?
It's a bit,
do you know what I mean? Isn't it a bit daunting as opposed to playing A team and looking?
I'll be honest, we were pretty tough in that A team. When I got dropped down, for example, I'd been playing a few years and I got dropped to play in the A team, they want to kill you. They want to kill you. Yeah. And it was pretty ridiculously tough to play in that A team because, you know, they'll call me Steve-O's, I can't use the word live on air, female dog. Do you know what I mean? And they were they're trying to kill you, so it's a good standard. But I know one of the senior players at the Huddersfield Giants, he's left now, he refused to sign the dual reg. And he just said, I aren't going playing there. I've signed at Huddersfield and I'm refusing to go. I'm not playing anywhere else. You haven't signed me to play somewhere else. I signed for this field and refused to sign.
Player power, eh?
Yeah.
I seen Kirk Yeaman this year. At the start of the year, we're a little bit out of favour. Mm-hmm. Playing for Doncaster. Bear in mind, this is a Hull FC Great Britain legend who's, you know, been top, you know, being one of the best centres in his
brilliant
position.
For Donny.
Playing for Doncaster, it's just one right. You know what I mean? Like, I was thinking, come on, man, it's Kirk Yeaman. Is he an FC legend? But thankfully now he's back in the team.
And scoring tries
and killing it.
I also look at it from the other perspective as well. Like, what happens if you're a young player for Oldham or for Doncaster? And then all of a sudden, I mean, let's be fair, a lot of them lads, they rely on a bit of money, you know, to get them through the week. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden some big dog comes down, takes your spot, yeah, and you've just got to sit on the sideline watching him and then go, all right, you can play again this week. He's fit again.
He's okay.
When I played at Lee Centurions in my last couple of years, we had a few of the boys, Tyron McCarthy, Matty Blythe, that come across from Warrington. And those guys at that time, yeah, that did happen. And it didn't sit well with quite a few of the Lee lads.
Doesn't sit well. They stopped doing it at Doncaster last year with the whole team. So no, let's get back to Alliance. You know, let's just get back to that as quickly as possible.
Well, I think one of the big concerns for those other Super League clubs was the cost of running an A team and a full professional team. But Tony Smith has come out and publicly stated that all in all, it will cost Warrington around 35k extra on their squad. And that's it. To run the 18.
I think the difference as well is, though, I think a lot of clubs make money off the 19s now. It's not, you don't lose money, you make money by going through the government schemes of putting them through whatever courses, education.
But we're not talking about getting rid of the 19s. We're talking about having on top of an A team or some sort of structure. It could be an under 23s, it could be an under 25s. Just an opportunity to allow those younger players that don't quite mature into their man muscle by the age of 19, to start to, you know, to stay within the ranks. Jamie Peacock is a perfect example of someone that would have been put on a scrap heap if the Bradford Bulls at the time didn't have an A team.
Which is ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, it's just unbelievable. It's unthinkable. We need Leeds and Gary Otherington to say, let's have a second team, and then we'll have a second team, won't we? Let's be fair.
There you go.
He does have a lot of sway. He is a very influential person in the world of rugby league. Okay, the Bradford Bulls, you guys were trying to get this out of me last week. It was absolutely
Well, it was
terrible.
Quite obvious. It was quite obvious when we asked you off air.
The Bradford Bulls have announced Rowan Smith.
It was ridiculously
is
obvious.
Is it Rowan Smith? Oh, I'm not
just
saying
that. Just start sweating, went red. Went, oh, I'm not going to say it.
So obvious.
My mother never taught me how to lie, did she? The Bulls did announce Rowan Smith as a new coach. Rowan Smith is the son of Brian and nephew of Tony Smith. You know, being a Smith, does that add pressure?
I'll let you
being a successful Smith as well, because both
just keep me off the subject. Both,
both Brian,
I've learned as I've got older, a child to learn to keep my mouth shut sometimes. Go on, Robbie.
As they say, point at your ears never get you into trouble, do they? But you know, being a Smith, obviously, Brian hugely successful down under, set up the Bradford Bulls. He was successful with Hull right back in the day. You would argue he was successful with Wakefield as well by steering them to staying in the Super League in 2015. Obviously, he fell out with the administration at Wakefield with the owner per se, which he stepped down from the role. Tony Smith has been synonymous with success with both Leeds Rhinos and the Wolves. Does that add pressure for Rowan coming in as a coach?
I think, one, it opens doors. First and foremost, it gives you an opportunity as a name who's obviously linked to, you know, his dad and his uncle. It opens doors for you. But then, two, once you have the job, the door might be open. Once you actually have the job, I think it does add a little bit more pressure because people expect him to obviously be successful. And especially being in Bradford with the history that the Smith and Bradford, you know, Brian Smith has with Bradford and everything that goes with it. Yeah, I think there is going to be a lot of pressure on him. But let's be fair now, in what job in any walk, in the NRL or in Super League and the Championship, is there not pressure?
Exactly. And even more so with the structure, the way it is. I mean, we've spoken about it quite openly. I will say this about Rowan. His CV is absolutely impeccable. He's followed a different type of pathway than most coaches do, because most coaches are players. They've played in the professional ranks. But I think the schools in which he's learned his rugby, for example, Anderson, who, Leon, you were under.
My best coach.
From a development point of view?
Yeah, everything.
Well, this is what the quality of testimonials for Anderson, the Terry Madisons, the Matthew Elliott, that come out and wanted to talk Rowan's ability up. And I think one of the things that's been holding him back as a coach, because he spent 14 years learning his trade. As soon as he was turned 20 years of age, he was working as an assistant for a number of some of the biggest names in the game. Trent Robinson is another person that he's coached under. Ivan Cleary, another person he's coached under, Matthew Elliott himself, and we mentioned Daniel before, his father Brian, is his attention to detail in developing and the individual. Would you say that there was a typical sort of style from the Brian Smith harem?
I'll tell you what, Robbie,
Daniel Anderson?
You're selling him well here. You're selling him very, very well.
The proof is in the pudding.
No, I'm only joking. No, he's. I think that's. It's an old school of coaches that have all come through the Brian Smith era. All them, all those coaches you talk about have all dropped down or fallen under Brian Smith, haven't they?
Out of his stable.
There's a system, and it falls all the way down to Steve McNamara, to Brian Noble. Brian McDermott was at Leeds. From Tony Smith, it's just a big, like a Christmas tree dropping down. That's,
if you think of all of the players that have learned under that system.
Correct.
Players and then coaches. Daniel Anderson, though obviously directly out of Brian Smith's, you know, touch. Obviously, some of the other ones that you mentioned was sort of a knock-on effect from assistant coaches that came into as part of their system. But what was Daniel Anderson like as a coach?
Brilliant, absolutely brilliant. But that was probably more for me personally. I mean, I've been speaking it to yesterday when we're writing my book at the moment, and we've been talking about this a little bit. For me, it was good because I was quite a cocky and quite cocksure of myself and confident. And when he got hold of me, he hammered me. He hammered me, absolutely smashed me. And he got my respect because I knew he could coach. I knew he wanted the best out of me. Mm-hmm. So he got my respect straight away. But I've only probably been frightened of one person in my life, that's my dad. But I was frightened of Daniel Anderson. I was scared of him. He scared me.
For me, Brian Smith was a very similar type of coach. I remember Brian Smith, when he first came over, he pulled me aside and he said, after watching me train and play over the course of 2 or 3 months, he pulled me aside, and I always remember this, and it resonates with me. He goes, "Do you know, you train harder than you play?" And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, when you train, you absolutely you rip in. You shred the training facilities and everything to bits. You lift your weights. You do longer sessions. But when you get on the field, you're lazy."
Yeah. He said to me, he goes, "After my first year at Saints, he said, I don't think it's going to work. I don't think it's working here for you." I'm thinking, well, I've just had a half decent year. I think I've done all right. I went, "No, it's not going to. You're just not doing much at all, really. I'm like, "What? How dare you? Like, I'll show you." And then I came back, and the 07, I had a really good year. And then from there on in, he left me alone. He'd pick on Gilly. He'd pick on Ballou. He'd pick on Fozard. Mm-hmm. But he left me alone. And so there'd be sometimes, you know, I'm the kind of player that floats in and out of the game. And so if I'm having a bit of a quiet first half, he'd shout at some people, he'd swear at some people, he'd slap some people, he'd push some people. But he'd come to me and he'd just look at me and go, "Right, I need you now." And I knew, doing that, you get a reaction out of me. Now, if somebody comes up to me and tears shreds off me, my confidence goes, and I don't know. But he knew how to handle me. Give me a wink, say, "Come on, I need you now."
Good. It's like he knows what's going on inside
in
your
my
head.
Brain, yeah. He definitely got the best out of me.
Absolutely brilliant. Now, coming up after the break, we'll discuss Super League table and the picks of this weekend's upcoming matches. Stay with us right here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
Whatever the story, we've got it covered. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul. Be quiet, you two. They're still carrying on the conversation. Welcome back. We're continuing on with the hottest topics in the sport and taking a look at the best games of the round. As a reminder, between now and next week, you have a chance to win a signed Luke Robinson testimonial shirt. Go on the pulse1.co.uk website and just click on the win tab, and you'll see a picture of that angry little gargoyle staring down at you. That's a good one, eh? Actually, before we start having a look at the table and look at the comings and goings of the table before we launch into the best games of the round, Leon, you guys are facing Wigan, and we expect to see the long-awaited return of Sam Tompkins back to the fold. That's a good one, eh?
Yeah, great.
Fantastic. Great to have him back.
Just the right time to get him, haven't we? Sam's coming back. Farrell's coming back. The other Tompkins is coming back. Yay, what a great timing. No, it's going to be good. He'll be good. It's good for the game. I'm glad he's back. We need some superstars back in Super League.
Yeah.
Don't we? Let's make the game great again.
You've had the monopoly on it, haven't you? Over the last 3 weeks. It's just been all about LP.
The last 3 years.
Well, you've been injured before that.
No, it's good. It's good. I think it's good for the game. It's going to be a lot to talk about. The media are going to want to talk about it a lot because he's such a big name, such a big signing.
Idiot Steve-O. They're going to have a meltdown.
Oh, they're going to love it, aren't they? They're going to love it. And the press are loving it. Sky are loving it. Sean Wayne will be loving it. So
Robbo,
it's going to be good.
Were you at Wigan when Sam was a young kid?
No, I played with his brother.
With Joel?
Joel, just coming through the ranks as I would, I was just in and out at sort of first team Alliance. So I played a little bit with Joel. Played with England with him. He's actually coming and doing me, I'm just plugging me do again. Sam's actually the guest speaker at me. 9th of July, yeah, I do. So he's, I rang him up the other week, got talking to him about some stuff. Not spoke to him in a while. Then after about 10 minutes, went, oh, what are you doing on 9th of July? I knew there was something. I knew it. But I'd lured him in by that point. I'd already got him.
You created a rapport with him. Yeah. You'd already, you know, you already softened him up. Then you went in for the killer blow.
That's right.
I remember playing against him for Salford when he was just a young kid. And I thought, who is this skinny little kid? Who's this skinny little kid on this field? And he, God, he was strong. He was agile. I remember what really cracked me up, Brian Noble said to me, oh, the way he attacks and the way he runs, he's like a spider on crack.
He is.
Legs flying all over the place, hands kicking out and all over. But he's got dense muscle, hasn't he?
That's what makes him such a good player. I used to take the mick about the size of his limbs. I mean, obviously, I've got little dwarf arms and stuff.
Like I said, gargoyle.
But he's got really, really long limbs. And like I say, he's got really good balance. And I think that's what makes him dangerous when he's out the back. And the way that Maguire... They basically tailored their game around him. That's why they created that sort of second man option, try to create space for him out the back, which is electric out the back.
And he is. He does create. I mean, Josh Charnley, I reckon part of the reason why Josh Charnley has been quiet over the last few years is because he hasn't had Sam Tompkins feeding him that space. So they've got great hands. New Zealand Warriors have struggled for a year without him because when he got injured. New Zealand Warriors struggled. All the pressure went straight on to Sean Johnson. But when you've got Sam Tompkins out the back, there's another threat that you've got to deal with. Leon, have you guys prepared for him to be back?
We've obviously prepared knowing he's going to be back in the team, but I think, you know, rugby league's not about one man.
No
team sport's about one man. The guy is dangerous. He's one of the best players that's played in Super League. I've got massive amounts of respect for him. I think he's a brilliant player, but it's not about one player, is it?
No.
You know, it's a full team game, and I think we've proven that over the past couple of weeks.
And you guys are hot at the moment, but you are sweating the outcome of big Frank the Tank.
Been banned for one match.
Been banned. Oh, he has been banned.
Been banned for one match.
Yeah. Okay, so you'll miss him. Seeker Money's back in.
Seeker's back, yeah.
Well, back in contention anyway.
He'll be back in, yeah.
It's hard to get back in the team at the moment.
It is.
After last week's performance, did you pick up any injuries?
No, we didn't. No, but Seeker's world class. And the only reason he wasn't here was because he was on international duty, so I would have thought he'll come straight back in the team.
All right, well, that's going to be interesting. Let's just have a look at the top of let's have a look at the Super League table at this point in time, because there's not a lot in it. When you look at the top four teams, Warrington are on 20 points, Catalans, Hull FC and Wigan are all on 18 points. That's it. And you've got St. Helens on 16. There's absolutely nothing in that top four. You know, you look a little bit lower on the table, Widnes, Wakefield and Castleford. Widnes and Wakefield both on 12, Castleford on 11 points. They're starting to drift a little bit, but that top five teams really have a monopoly. And how do you see that going at this point in time? Obviously, you can't talk about Hull FC, Leon, because you're a bit biased in that respect, but you guys are
I'll speak as ultra as a rugby league fan. I think it's the first time in maybe Super League history that I don't know who's going to win. I don't think there's a favourite. I don't think there's a favourite out there. I think any of them top five that you name can win it. Absolutely can win it.
I don't think they can. I think the top four can win it.
Okay, top four then.
I don't think
who was the fifth. Who was the fifth team?
St. Helens was on 16.
Top four then.
I think one of them top four can win it.
Well, why do you say that about St. Helens? They've still got a good class of athlete within their ranks.
Look, they've got decent personnel. This seems from the out, you know, from an outsider's point of view, there just seems a lot of unrest. The fans really seem to be on Kieran Cunningham's back at the beginning of the year. There's, you know, what's going on with him? What's he called? Who's not playing?
Travis Burns.
There's things going on in and around him. I don't know, you know, John Wilkin coming out this week and obviously being really, you know, sort of dejected after the game, which it should rightly be so. But yeah, I just don't see them, you know, having what it takes to go and lift the Super League Cup.
It's going to be interesting at the top. But
usually we have Wigan, Warrington. Over the last couple of years, we had Huddersfield. And you'd have Saints around there, but you'd look like and Leeds, and you'd think they are really, really, really strong. Mm-hmm. Whereas you've got no Leeds, you've got no Huddersfield, and then all the other teams can beat each other. There's nobody that can't be beaten, so it makes it really interesting, I think.
Now, looking at this bottom four, you've got Hull KR on 7 points, Salford on 6 after being deducted, 6 points. Huddersfield and Leeds Rhinos on 6 points as well. So Salford, Huddersfield and the Rhinos all on 6 points. Leeds at the bottom due to the points difference, then Huddersfield, then Salford.
Can I just ask you a question, Robbie? Like, out of all them, this is not very good for like the teams that are in your league, are they? Because because if you think about it, Leeds and Huddersfield, sorry, but they're going to wipe the floor of any team that's in that league. And then it was
if you have a look at their teams on paper.
Well, they are going to. I'm just telling you now. So
Salford and OKR, all of them are strong.
Yeah.
They're all strong teams.
It's not going to be easy.
It's like you're hoping that the wheels are going to fall off the car on one of the other teams because these guys have got to go on a run. So Huddersfield seem to have turned a little bit of a corner over the last couple of weeks, getting a couple of wins in the local derby against the Leeds. It doesn't matter where Leeds are. It's psychologically, it's a big bonus for them because they've still got their talent. But also Leeds, they're going to start getting more of their high-quality troop back. So I think we're going to see the back end of this season where we're going to see those two teams go on a run. That means that the Castlefords, the Wakefields, the Widnesses that are sitting on 11, 12 points are going to feel that extra pressure that we've been talking about.
I feel sorry for Bradford Bulls in the Championship and everybody else in that Championship. I've said it numerous times. I think you're behind the eight ball, and I don't think it's a fair system at the moment what we've got, because you're going up against a side that spends more money and have got better personnel. Whatever you say, whoever spends the most
money.
You're
going up against a side that gets more money, are allowed to spend more money.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, there are parameters put into place, because if you turn over X amount of pounds, you can spend up to what the Super League clubs are spending up to. But I think an important element to take into, to add to it is the fact that Super League clubs are playing a higher intensity level of rugby league week in, week out. And so when they come into the Super A qualifiers, they're coming in with a more cutting edge, sharper, intense mindset.
Yeah, look at OKR last year. You know, they were really struggling OKR, but they went in that middle eights, killed it. But at the same time, if you just get yourself in that fifth spot, that one-off game, anything can happen. So it is doable. I just think it's really difficult for them Championship clubs.
All right, well, let's have a look at a couple of the games going on this weekend. Leeds and Cass, I think they're the game on Thursday night. How do you see that one going? Because obviously both teams...
Is that Leeds?
It's at Leeds, yeah.
Well, I'm going to go for a Leeds home win on that one.
Sam, I'm going for Leeds home win.
Even in the light of Cass's performance last week against Salford?
That were at home at Cass. They're a different side at home.
Yeah,
I'm going for Leeds.
Yeah, it's a tight little Portuguese postage stamp pitch.
It is a strange pitch, isn't
it?
And the supporters feel like they're actually part of the game. I reckon it's a bit of an intimidating place to play.
Yeah, I think it has a massive advantage. You only have to take two drives and you're in good ball.
All right, obviously, Leon, I don't want you to talk about this one. You want to be a bit blind to it. Wigan versus Hull FC on Friday night.
Oh, I don't know. Really tricky one. I'm going to go with Wigan just for Sam Tompkins.
I'm going to go
just against me.
Sorry,
Leon.
I think you've been great this year, the club. I think all have been fantastic this year, playing some good stuff. But
I think with Sika Manu back and putting pressure on internally in the team, I think you guys are in the zone at the moment, so I'm going to back you guys. And Catalans and the Giants. That's it in Catalan.
I'm hoping for a Giants win.
I'm going Catalan. I'm going Catalan.
All right, thanks for tonight, boys. And a big thanks to all of you, wherever you are listening this evening. Total Access is next here on Pulse One. So enjoy your lives, love your families, and enjoy your rugby. Live your rugby. I'm Robbie Antipaul. Thanks again.
This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One. Wednesday evening from 6.